Good morning. On this beautiful Lord's Day, we welcome you to this time of worship. As we celebrate Mother's Day, we'll be emphasizing that in the message today. Before we begin that process, I want to share some prayer requests with you, and then I want to share something about Mother's Day. Continue to remember Faye Ellis in prayer, still in New Hanover, in intensive care. Lee Stead, Brenda Borowski is not doing well. Lonnie Varnum is in the hospital with kidney stones. And continue to remember Bill Brown. And we certainly want to give thanks and praise to all the mothers of our land. Motherhood is a wonderful, wonderful institution that has been diminished in recent years, but it is one of the most important things that a woman can do is to be a mother. Sometimes they don't receive the thanks and praise that they should. And I hope you have thanked your mother or wife for the mother that she is, and that you have shown the appreciation you should. Chuck Swindoll several years ago did a list of IOUs which apply to mothers all over the country, and all of which are long overdue. So I want you to think about each one of these and consider the priceless value of the one who made your life possible, your mother. It goes like this. Dear Mom, as I walk through my museum of memories, I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wise and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your flexibility, patient and joyful. I owe you for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible. I owe you for your love, devoted and deep. We owe a lot to our mothers, do we not? Bow with me in prayer. Father, we come to you today because you are a God of grace and mercy and love, lifting those names to you who were mentioned who are in need of special prayer, going through some difficult days because of physical ailments. And we just pray your special blessings upon them. Touch them by your healing power and your comforting presence. But as we pause to reflect on how precious our mothers are on this Mother's Day, we pause to give you thanks and to remember just how much we truly do owe to our mothers for the example they set, for the sacrifices they made, for the love that they showed, for the tireless efforts they made to make life as best they could for us as we grew up. We thank you for the way that they cared for us, watched over us, cried about us, cried over us, prayed for us, and did so many acts of love for us to cause us to be the people we are today. And so we give you thanks for the mothers across this land. I especially thank you for the mothers and all the women of this church, Mount Pisgah, and for the example they set in their faithfulness every week. God, I pray you would bless them in a special way this day. And as Cynthia comes to sing, I pray you anoint her voice with the power of your Holy Spirit, that the message and song will go out and be a blessing to all who hear. And then when your word is proclaimed, I pray that you would bless it and challenge all of us that we might be better people in serving you. Again, we thank you for our mothers and our wives who are so precious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have helplessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
That was a Mother's Day card that was really cute. It was a great big card written in a little child's printing, probably a first grade printing. On the front was a little boy with untied sneakers. He had a wagon and toys were everywhere. He had a little cut on his face and there were smudges all over his card. On the front it read, "Mom, I remember that little prayer you used to say for me every day." And on the inside, when he opened it, here was that prayer: "God help you if you ever do that again." Evidently, that mother had had some issues with her son, had some challenges in raising him. That hasn't changed, has it? It's still that way. Well, it was that way from early on. We find that to be the case, that there was a challenge facing a mother in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 2, we see that a mother faced a tremendous challenge, even more so than what this mother faced. Listen to the challenge that she faced. In Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read this: "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." When we survey the pages of human history, we discover that godly mothers and the virtues of motherhood many times are almost hidden. Mothers who truly believe God, who have the courage to stand up for God and His demand for righteousness and purity, seem to be hard to find. It can very well be that the reason for this is that many godly mothers simply remain true to the calling of motherhood without any need of fanfare to be in the spotlight. I had such a mother. She didn't seek any fanfare from anybody. She just did her job at home faithfully, 7 days a week, raising 7 children, working hard and singing most of the time when you heard her in the kitchen. Mothers like that just faithfully do what God has called them to do. And as a pastor, I must applaud such mothers. They are so wonderful. But sometimes an outstanding mother comes on the scene to provide inspiration to us, as well as a challenge to us, and some lessons that we can very well learn from them, such is the case in this particular passage. Jochebed is mentioned only twice in the Bible, but her prominence as a mother does not go unnoticed. Even with such a meager record of her life, her greatness rises like an imperishable monument through the early childhood years of her son Moses. She is a woman who walked humbly before God and instilled her character and her faith into her daughter Miriam, her older son Aaron, and her son Moses. Jochebed lives on not by how many big tasks you accomplish, but how courageous and wisely she served as a mother. Being a mother may not be held in very high esteem in our so-called liberated society today, but there's no more important job in our culture today than that of being a mother, of being a godly woman. I am grateful that godly mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers can be found who have given all that they are to God, who are totally committed to follow after the essential qualities of righteousness and purity demanded by a holy God. I'm so thankful for such women in this fellowship. Jochebed's whole background speaks of holiness, the kind that strengthens faith. You see, Jochebed possessed some qualities and marks that marks her as a great mother, qualities that mothers today would do well to embrace. What were some of those qualities? I want to mention only three, and that not only mothers, but all of us would do well to embrace as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, she was a woman of vision. In order to fully understand this truth, we need to grasp the condition of Israel. They were in 400 years of bondage now at this time. Because of this, times were extremely sad and difficult. The nation was in exile as slaves. Jochebed was of the tribe of Levi. That was to end up being the priestly tribe of Israel. But they were still slaves of the lowest social rank and position imaginable. She had no social standing or decent clothes or possession. She owned no rank or position. They also faced the awful news because the Egyptians feared the Israelites. Look at what was going on in chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other was named Pua. And he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth, and see them upon the birth stool, if it's a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can get to them." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive." What an edict. Boys were to be put to death at birth. That's what she faced. Human life was very cheap in Egypt at that time for them. Sadly, it still is. We have over 60 million abortions in this country. I'm so ashamed of that, and we ought to be ashamed of it in our own land. It's an abomination before God. I'm so thankful for those women who are taking a stand against this awful practice. They're making a difference in preserving the precious lives of the most innocent of our society. But in this particular context, about Jochebed and Moses, the pressure that Pharaoh exerted with his plan had a great effect on many of the Israelites. They once had a strong religious belief that was now fading. Many caved in to Pharaoh's edict, but Jochebed refused to do so. Bowing to government pressure had afflicted so many of them. And sadly, I'm afraid that bowing to government pressure and government edicts has afflicted us to compromise much of our faith and belief more than we realize today in our own culture. The Israelites were even participating in the idolatrous rites of the Egyptians. This was to have a long-term impact on the life of the nation. This is clearly indicated in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 6, where once they had been brought out of bondage and Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and the people got restless, and so they wanted a God to worship. And so Aaron commanded them to give all the gold earrings and the gold that they had, and he built a golden calf, and they bowed down and worshiped, compromising thy faith, doing exactly what God had said not to do. In fact, Joshua 24:14 tells us that later on, Joshua commanded them to put away the gods that you worship across the river and in Egypt. And in Ezekiel chapter 32, chapter 20, verses 6 through 8, Ezekiel warned them to throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, God's eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You see, they had compromised while they were there in bondage. The Egyptian culture had craftily weaved its way into their hearts. Theirs was a go-along-to-get-along mentality that afflicted them just as it has all too many of us in our age today. Jochebed not only had to face this awful edict, she had to face a people who had lost their spiritual direction. In the most difficult of times, she focused on God with courage and vision. Mothers face that same dilemma today. We're living in a nation that has seemingly lost its spiritual direction in many quarters. I pray that we'll find our direction before it's too late. We need to once again be drawn back to the cross and to the faith that founded this nation and made us what we are. But I notice also the commitment of Jochebed. In spite of Pharaoh's awful loss, she chose to believe God and had confidence that he would deliver her child and keep him safe. Verse 2 says that he was a godly child. Acts 7:20 tells us that he was exceedingly fair. Hebrews 11:23 tells us that he was a proper child. She had prophetic insight also. She believed that God had confidence that he would deliver Israel. She surely knew of God's covenant with Abraham as recorded in Genesis chapter 15. A covenant that God had made at the beginning to have this nation to become what it was. In that passage, God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve. And afterward, they will come out with many possessions." The 400 years were about ended now. And she believed the teachings of the Word of God. She must have grasped the exciting history and the heritage, and that the time of 400 years was now fulfilled. And God was just instilling in her heart that there was something special about this child. She saw the possibilities of this one precious life. God gave her a sense that her child was special. He was a gift, a very special gift from God. She understood that his life was important to God. So she had to be courageous and to do the right thing and save her child's life. God's purposes for the child was far more important than even her love. She wanted to save the child not only because she loved him, but also because she saw him as a special gift from God. She saw the possibilities of a life for her nation. Moses would become the great deliverer. We know that. With a vision from God, she saw through this son and in this son the greatness, the majesty, the power, and wisdom of God at work. She saw the future generations of a people who were to be God's own special people. She had tremendous vision. I believe she recognized that the baby was designated for special purposes, spiritual purposes. She was determined to cooperate with the purpose of God for her child. So I would ask you something this morning. What do you see in your children? What do you see in the children of this church? Do you have a vision for them serving God? Do you have that all-important vision of who God really is and what He desires to do in your life and in the life of your children? What do you see in your children? What kind of vision do you have for them? Do you see the possibility in your child that God could use your child as an instrument in His hand to turn this nation around? Could you be nurturing another Billy Graham or D.L. Moody or Lottie Moon or an Annie Armstrong or another great instrument in the hands of God to make a difference where that child lives in a community, in a county, in a state, a nation, and even in the world? What do you see? What do you see? We need another great awakening in this land. Could that child that you have in your home be that child that's so desperately needed? What do you see in your children? But also, not only what do you see in your children, do you understand what will be required? You see, not only was Jochebed a woman of vision, she was also a woman of great faith. She had faith in God. That's why she's included in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, 23 says this, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." They were not afraid of the government. They were not afraid to take a stand for what was right in God's sight. We see the great wisdom, the boldness, and the deep faith of Jochebed and her husband. She did all she could and trusted God. She trusted God to use her efforts and to bless them. She laid the best plans and carried them out with God's help. She took her extraordinary steps to save her son and trusted the Lord to work everything out to save her child. That is why she is listed in the great hall of faith in Hebrews. Listen, great wisdom and great faith are two qualities needed by mothers today. There are situations that are beyond your control that face mothers every day. Situations such as oppression, temptation, the sinister challenge of compromise, and even along with that, the sickness and challenges that come along with raising a child. To take a stand for what is right in your child's life. Are you willing to do that, even in opposition to some so-called leaders of our day? I remember when our oldest son was in the ninth grade. Peg and I were talking about it recently. And his English teacher sent home a reading list. And on that reading list was one book called Peyton Place. Now, it may seem mild compared to what we're seeing today, but it was still awful. And she made the comment. My wife to give her permission for our son to read this. And she said, "No, I don't think that's fit for a ninth grader to be reading." And there were others on that list that were bad as well. supposedly some good literature. I still have a hard time having good thoughts about that particular English teacher today. But my wife said no. The teacher wasn't happy. My wife did not budge. She was a mother that was protecting the mind and the soul of our oldest son. And I'm grateful for that. We need mothers like that today. What steps are you willing to take to protect the spiritual well-being of your children? There are forces out there that would absolutely destroy their lives and take them away from you. There are people in this land who would say that as parents, many parents don't have sense enough to raise their own children, so they want to give them to the government. That others raise their own children. What steps are you willing to take to protect the young, impressionable minds and souls of your children? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. Our children, however, must see our faith in action. When situations beyond our control strike us, we must trust God completely, without doubting, to work out the situation for us and give us the wisdom and guidance and the strength to do what is right for our own children. And God will come through every time. So she had faith in God, but she also had faith in herself under God. She understood Romans 8:28 long before Paul wrote it. She realized that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. From her faith in things unseen, Jochebed gained her strength and the force that was compelled her to live the way she did. Listen, a mother who learned to trust her Creator, not to doubt, she seemed to be united to the promises of God. She was absorbed by them, thrilled by them. Her whole background speaks of her holiness, the kind that strengthened her faith. Hers was a faith that would not let her sit still and do nothing. Someone said, between the child and God stands a parent, a separating wall or a connecting link. Under God, Jochebed determined to be a connecting link between her faith and the faith she wanted to instill in Moses, the faith in Almighty God. What about you? I would simply ask you this pointed question. Are you a separating wall that separates your children from the true faith in God? Or are you that all-important connecting link? Years ago, Dr. Billy Graham said this. What a challenge it is to all parents. Let your home be your parish, your little brood your congregation, your living room a sanctuary, and your knees a sacred altar. What steps are you willing to take to preserve not just the physical well-being, but the spiritual well-being of your children that are a precious gift from Almighty God? But not only did Jochebed have faith in God and faith in herself under God, she had faith in her child. I believe she realized God had a sovereign purpose for her son. By faith, she saw what others could not. What do you see in your children? Excuse me. The writer and poet Carl Sandburg in Remembrance Rock wrote the following years ago. A baby is God's opinion that life should go on. A book that does nothing to you is dead. A baby, whether it does anything to you, represents life. If a bad fire should break out in this house and I had my choice of saving the library or the babies, I would save what is alive. Never will a time come when the most marvelous recent invention is as marvelous as a newborn baby. The finest of our precision watches, the most super colossal of our supercargo planes, don't compare with a newborn baby in the number and ingenuity of coils and springs, in the flow and change of chemical solutions, in timing devices and interrelated parts that are irreplaceable. The baby here is very modern, strictly, yet it is also the oldest of the ancients. Nothing more precious than a new life, physical and spiritual. So I ask you again, do you see your children as a gift from God, as very special and important to Him? To what extent are you willing to go to protect your children from the bad influences of this world? Influences that can literally lead to their deaths, not just physically, but spiritually. Have you committed your children to the Lord? Have you led your children to trust in Christ? One of the most precious privileges I have as a pastor is when a parent comes to me and say a child is ready to accept Christ as personal Savior. I always try to encourage them. Have you shared the plan of salvation with them? There's nothing more precious than you can do in your own family to submit your family relationship is to lead your own child to faith in Christ. Be that example in your home. Are you teaching your children the Word of God? Are you a mother of faith? Does your family see faith in action in you? Do they see you making worship a priority? Do they see you making reading the Word of God being important? Do they see in you the attitude of loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Jochebed instilled that, I believe, in Moses. She was a woman of vision. She was a woman of faith. But she was also a woman of courage and sacrifice. She would not accept defeat. Can you imagine how hard it must have been to place that child in that little ark and then in the river? That was the physical danger of him being hurt, and naturally a baby's going to cry. By the way, if I understand correctly, the Nile River has alligators in it. But not only that, there was a danger of the Egyptians hearing that baby and simply drowning it there. It took great courage and sacrifice for her to place that child in that little ark. But Jochebed witnessed the sovereign guiding hand of Almighty God. Her plan worked because God's sovereign guiding hand was in it. Her faith was being rewarded. Can you imagine how hard it was to let go? Khalil Gibran, in the prophet, expresses well the hard task of a mother to love completely and deeply, and yet always with the task of letting go. Listen to what Gibran has to say. He says, "You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the books from which your children are living arrows, as living arrows are sent forth." My question is simply this. What are your children reading from the book of your life? How are you sending them forth out into the world? Do they see in you as you send them forth with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, with faithfulness, with dedication, with devotion, with purity of your own life, with a determination not to let the sins of the world have more influence over them than the Lord? And does your life point them in the right direction they need to go? You can't live it for them, but you can challenge them and guide them and nurture them and mentor them and send them in the right direction. I see something else that was here that's obvious, that how a successful mother Jochebed was, because the courage that she possessed was also stirred in Moses' sister Miriam, who was just a young girl, but she had courage enough to walk up to Pharaoh's daughter and suggest that she keep the baby as her own child, and then suggest that she employ a Hebrew mother to nurse the child and take care of it for her. Isn't it amazing how God works? Jochebed was going to be able to care for her own son in those critical early years. She would not accept defeat. And not only that, she was going to be paid to take care of her own child. Isn't that amazing how God works and cares for people? How we need to trust Him. She wanted to do all in her power to meet the need of the hour. She was able to take care of her son in the most critical years of his life. It was during those early years of Moses' life, sitting at the feet of his mother and father, that he was most likely taught to trust in the Lord God Almighty and to believe the great promises of the God of Israel. She taught Moses the truth about the Lord. She taught him the fascinating history of the heroes of the faith. She taught him about the covenant God had made with the Israelites through Abraham. She was able to teach him to be sympathetic toward the unfortunate and to be intolerant toward injustice. She knew she would not have Moses long, so she was going to make the most of her opportunity. Listen, mothers. Research indicates that 50% of a child's basic attitudes are learned during the first 3 years of a child's life. Think about that. 50% of a child's basic attitude is learned in the first 3 years of a child's life. Most likely, Jochebed was able to take care of Moses until he reached weaning age, which was somewhere between 4 to 7 years of age. But the whole character of Moses displays her holy guidance. I believe she instilled in him belief in God as creator. She instilled in him the sacred traditions of Israel. She taught him about Abraham and the promises of God. Why do I say this? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. We read this real back up to verse 23. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for his looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. You see this faith that she instilled in her son all throughout Moses' life as well. What an influence she had on her children. From faith in things unseen, Jochebed gained her strength and the force in her life. She learned to trust God and not to doubt. Her loving faith linked her with the power of God. Listen, every child needs a genuine Christian mother, one who knows and loves and worships and serves the Lord God. No one can give your child a Christian mother except you. So I challenge you to let God help you and cooperate fully with Him as He works in your mind and your heart so that your children might have the best possible mother. The challenge of being a mother is phenomenal. I realize that. But the rewards can be absolutely wonderful. Mothers, listen. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth every hour of it. It's worth every sleepless night of it. It's worth every moment of counsel. It's worth every fear that you go through, every moment of laughter that you enjoy, every moment of sacrifice and challenge that you make. I remember one thing that just came to my mind as I was thinking about this sermon, about my own mother. When I got in my teenage years, that was so crucial for me. Go out with the gang and we'd come home, I'd be whole lot later than I was supposed to be in coming home. Didn't have curfews, but I had some curfews, but a lot of times I missed it. We never locked the doors, and I'd come in, take my shoes off, and I had to go through my mama's bedroom to get up the stairs to go to my bedroom. Take my shoes off, and I'd get about 34 steps. My nickname was Sam, and my mama would say very softly, "Sam, is that you?" She knew who it was, letting me know, "I'm concerned, you're late. Should have been here before. I'm glad you're home." But all she said is that you. She knew it was me. That tells me to this day, Mama cared. Mama loved me. Wanted what was best for me. I hope that's the case for you, for your children, that you care enough to let them know that, hey, they've violated a little bit of a trust and need to get it straightened out. And she'd remind me of that the next day. You were too late getting home. Should have been here earlier. But she did it in love because she cared. Listen, simply this is what I share with you. Be a woman of God. Have faith in the Lord. Have vision for your children. Be willing to make sacrifices and have the courage to live the way God wants you to do and to share with your children. So be a woman of vision, of faith, of courage, and sacrifice. And God will bless you, and you will have the joy of seeing your children follow the Lord. And who knows what God can do with that precious gift of life He has given to you. May God bless you on this Mother's Day. Be that woman of God that God wants you to be, and you will be richly blessed indeed.